Hi everyone. Can you hear me okay? Yes. Making sure everybody's muted. Welcome. Welcome to newcomers, if there are newcomers. Hi. All right. Make yourselves comfortable. Really take in that we're together, even if we can't touch or smell. We can see, that's good. I'm needing to touch and smell. Let me come smell you now. All right. When we're ready, just allowing our eyes to close. Make sure your bodies are comfortable enough, and during the meditation, don't hesitate if you need to change something or move a bit. And for some of us, the shrine is, we know it well. It's been a few years now. So I hope maybe when we close our eyes, we can sort of, here we are. Feel a real space. It's a real space because we've made it out of our hearts. It has beautiful qualities that we all have given it. And for newcomers, you know, you're welcome into our shrine, into your shrine. Because the qualities that are infused into it are the qualities of your hearts too. And the main quality is welcoming, welcoming, welcoming. Resting. Not having to do anything. But we don't have to stop doing. It's just that we don't have to do anything. Everything is more obviously taken care of when we're in the shrine. So if the mind is still running its thing, just let the mind be, but you don't have to get on the train of thoughts. You can get off. You can let the mind unwind. It takes time for the mind to unwind. And one way to help that is to sort of descend down into the body, sort of take the elevator down from the head down into more of the felt sense, the tactile sense, the body, so-called body. Where you don't have to do anything, you just let this cacophony of sensations and all sorts of interesting sensations and tinglings and pulsations and breath. No need to micromanage that level, that range of experience. Just like you don't have to manage Ellen's voice, you know, so you don't have to do anything in order for my voice to arise and to be heard. You don't have to do anything for the words to fall into place and understanding. And then my voice dissolves. Feel that it's the same with your own so-called inner experience. You don't have to pull sensations out of anywhere, or you don't have to hurry them on to back to the source, or none of that. Just what we can do is cooperate somehow with, for example, in my case, I can feel my breath is slowly relaxing. And I can sort of cooperate with it. And I don't want to get into a big explanation. It's almost like we can cooperate by loving our breath, for example, by saying, hi, inhale, exhale. Or cooperating, it's not a very nice word. It's more like, oh, I don't know what the word would be. Accompanying a process of alignment. But it's, and it comes from the heart. So maybe the body very, very slowly is, dropping the weight that it holds. And we can cooperate. But it's a very effortless kind of process, very gentle. And you have to discover what my words mean, because they really don't mean one thing. They mean whatever they mean in the moment for each one of you. They may mean nothing in which case you just let them slide down, back into wherever they come from. In fact, that wherever they come from is the key, right? The invisible source. And even though we know it's not a tactile or mental experience, this source, since it's prior to experience. It's what gives rise to everything. So we can't really touch it through experience, but it has an echo. It has an echo in our body. It has an echo in our mind, since our body and minds come out of it. So don't be shy to feel, touch, a feeling of a sense of spaciousness, of borderlessness. That is pure. And out of which this voice arises, out of which the next breath the next sensation the next thought you can touch that which cannot be touched. You can't, because you are made out of it, so somehow you can. And my words are limited in this moment. And whatever is experienced, you can offer to this openness. And really, all you need to do is hear the words and then let it happen. Whatever arises is offered to the openness. Effortlessly. Whatever arises, moment by moment. Is given back, handed back over to the openness in which it arises. And there may be difficulty, you know, in the body, in the feelings, in your experience. don't feel that that needs to sort of go away in a hurry. You just place that, whatever it is, whether it is a resistance in the body or an emotion that seems to be a kind of solid thing or even if it's more diffuse and less precise, a sort of familiar feeling of lack, a dissatisfaction, just, you know, that human feeling that it's hard. Whatever shape that takes for you. Right this moment. Just recognize or know or hear these words that it is bathed in the openness. And you might want to spend a bit of time in different sort of feeling localizations in your experience. And really imagine, visualize that these localizations, by which I mean contractions or intense feelings, it's just that they're really bathed in kindness, openness. And the breath can help. And it's, you're not really doing anything. Again, it's more like a accompanying a process. It's very hands off. Just, it's more like love on, hands off. And the habit of hands on is going to be present as attention. The tension in the shoulders, in the jaw, in the hands, in the heart, the one who wants to do it, who wants to do it very strong in all of us right now. I know it. I mean, I can't know it for sure, but I'm pretty sure. So really you can sort of take that doer feeling. You don't have to analyze it. You don't have to deconstruct it. You don't have to sort of, you know, do anything. Just feel it. It's very familiar. You can amplify it a bit to make it easier to feel. You can amplify the feeling in the face, that me, the doer, forehead and jaw that's connected to the shoulders and the arms, and somehow the shallow breath that comes along and the general tension of the whole body as it takes the shape of this one who thinks they can control. So that one, first of all, you can relax if you've been amplifying it, but that one, that feeling, because it's really more of a feeling, You just know that it is soaking gently. In borderless openness. And then you can even give yourself permission to feel that you, in fact, are this borderless openness. Just evoke that possibility and feel what that feels like. Let that feeling permeate your skin, the pores of your skin, relaxing as if they were opening. And then let the feeling of openness penetrate the sensation of weight. And teaches the weight to become weightless. Feel your body weightless. So you have to refer to just the current sensation, touched by borderlessness. And the borderlessness is whispering, you are made out of me. Just like the sky tells the cloud, you are made out of me. The openness says to the body, you are made out of openness. Give it a chance. Shoulders dropping. Hips and legs. Hands. Jaw. Eyelids. Feel your whole body. Don't refer to the image, just the raw sensation. Make it one global sort of vibrating cloud. Cloud. Floating. And I know there are some little boulders that don't want to become clouds. Let them be there. They're also floating. They're a little bit more dense. Let your body have a real bath of openness. You don't need it right now. You're just abiding in and as the openness. Too much effort to constellate a body that has a shape and limits. Let it go. Let it go. Just like I'm letting my voice lose a bit of its shade, like that with your body. Now feel the coming and the going of the breath. Just to help. That's what the breath can do so well. Let the inhale carry in some openness. Some kindness. And the out-breath, it carries the body back. The body that has been touched by kindness is more able to let go and dissolve back into the big openness. The in breath, the out breath in your own rhythm. Or rather, in God's own rhythm that you discover. You just witness and taste. The inhale. The out breath. Now we're going to sit in our pelvis with our awareness. Just listen more intimately to the root of your torso, to the base of your torso, of your body, and just allowing the breath in and out there. No pulling or pushing, just tasting. Letting the body speak to you through its own language. Feeling the base of your body, the perineum, the sexual area, the anus, your hips, and all these words dissolve and just pave the way for just raw sensation and the breath. Contact with the earth. There's no right or wrong. If there is no feeling, don't worry. No feeling is a feeling. Hello, hello, root of the body. Now we're sitting a little bit higher with the breath around the navel area. Letting the abdomen expand with the in-breath. Contract gently with the out-breath. find the rhythm, or rather wait for the rhythm. Just listening. You don't have a visual, you don't have a reference in the past. You're not labeling. No reason, just out of love for what is. Noticing, is the belly allowed to relax and expand with the in-breath? Is it allowed to move naturally with the out-breath? Can it expand not just in front, but the sides of the abdomen, the back even? Don't do it, just listen, as if there was a buoy there. And there's no right, no wrong. We're just learning to be with what is, and to really allow, to feel, to connect what is with the borderless openness. To discover the natural order of things. Now we come up a little higher, sit, so to speak, in this area of the heart, solar plexus, sort of upper rib cage area, heart area. Very delicate, intimate. Letting your heart speak, your breath speak. Rib cage. Malleable, flexible, can expand. And of course, you meet layers of feelings, contractions, maybe emotions held in the heart area. Yes, and then a bit higher in the throat, very powerful center experience. Gently go there, sit there with your tactile listening. Let yourself sink into your throat. The breath. Back of the mouth. No judging, or if judging arises, no judging the judging. In other words, you don't have to do the no judging, but but you can know that it's the quality of the openness is not judging. The quality of our listening, our tactile listening, is learning from this kindness. And now we're gonna just let the breath move through the central channel of the body, from the root, well, actually from in the earth. With the inhale, it rises through the root of the pelvis, through the column, central column of the body, all the way to the top of the head. You'll find a little rest with the inhale at the top, and then long, slow, smooth exhale from the top of the head through the central channel, all the way down. And you'll discover a rest there. And then the next inhale, and find your own rhythm. You can apply Ujjayi breath if you know it, the filter at the back of the throat. Take your time. Don't worry if it's not easy or if it's not happening, or just give it your most sincere dedication, like a prayer. Even though we're manipulating the breath, bring to this a quality of effortlessness. Don't feel you're pulling or pushing. It's more like a wave, the wave of the in-breath, the pause, the wave of the out-breath. You're the open listening, just tasting whatever arises. Feel that you don't live in a body that is limited. It's more that you are this open presence, in which the ripple of breathing and the bodily sensations arise together. Don't be in the body, let the body be in you.
Let the breath be a movement of you. In this case, you, the openness. Yes, and then just after the next out-breath, let the breath be as it is. Very gently, let the body move. Very slow, your eyes are closed. Don't refer to the shape of your body, just rather feel it's just sensation that is moving. Of course, you can feel the quality of your spine, you know, like from the root of your spine to the top of the head. I say this so that we can feel the quality of the spine, its capacity to curl and to elongate and to move like a plant. Feel your spine like an algae in water, very fluid. And you don't have to manufacture the movement. You can sort of discover it moment by moment. Perhaps again, feel that you're the warm water in which this plant is moving, and your currents are what are rippling this plant. There's no located mover, it's more like a rippling. And your head, don't forget your head. Your head is part of the spine. And if your arms become branches to this plant and sort of two algae that are also moved by currents, let them reach out, be moved by ripples. Your fingers, your arms might lift off your lap. It's weightless because it's water. There's no right or wrong here. We're just playing. Your elbows, fingertips very alive, the face. The breath. Let it be free so you're not too precious. I know we're going slowly and I'm saying very slowly, giving us directions, but in a way, don't listen to me now. Just see what wants to happen and let this body touch its wilderness, its freedom. Feel it from the inside, the movement coming out into the openness rather than applied from the outside. It's coming from the inside. So now I'm contradicting myself, but that's the nature of it. Now it's coming from the inside, from sensations and feelings and raw energy. It's a dance. Let the dance of the moment unfold. And if the body wants to stand up, let it stand up. if you want to stand. It doesn't have to be a not you body. Let yourself and the body reunite and you can dance slowly to begin with. Don't worry about being the openness, not the body, the body, all that stuff right now. Just giving some expression and movement. Some stretches, even if the body wants to stretch, it doesn't have to be artistic, but it can be, and it can also be very energetic and subtle. See what happens. Trusting the very innocent ways of the body. The hands, the feet, the legs. The face, the jaw, you can relax the jaw, the tongue, the armpits. The breath is always happy to join in. And listen for feelings and emotions here. Feelings, emotions, love, the opportunity to be carried with movement and breath. In fact, emotions are waves. They come in waves. Have you noticed? There might not be anything here right now, but if there is a feeling, lend it the posture and movement of your body and your breath. If it's grief, feel the wave and the ebb and the flow, and the way grief wants to curl, and sometimes it wants to stay fixed and still, but know it needs to move. It has a sound. And if it's anger or frustration, it's different, a different way. Different localization in the body, maybe more the belly, the hands, your claws, your teeth, your feet, the earth, quicker rhythm. Each emotion has a movement, has a dance. If it's fear, it has another texture, another movement, another localization. Another breath. Sometimes it's chaos, pure chaos. That has an interesting wave and movement and rhythm. I'm going fast. we don't have time, but it's worth taking time on your own, or if one day you come to a retreat, we take more time to discover these places and experience that have a way of belonging to the openness that is very particular. Gently, in your own time, take your place as the openness, the stillness, and then let the body come back to you. Welcome the body back to stillness. The body with all its layers, returning home. Your hands, your arms, your wrists, your fingertips, your shoulders, your spine finding its place of comfort, held in openness, your breath resting in the openness, your face, your hair, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, relaxing, opening, to be filled with openness. With stillness. Don't do anything, just staying in the heart. I guess maybe heart is another word for this openness. The borderless heart that echoes with each one of our hearts. Just abiding there, here, abiding here, in the borderless heart. We'll take 5 minutes and come back. Go gently. Thank you.
Whoops. Can you hear me okay? Welcome back. So this is a half hour where we can talk,
you all know, but if I don't know if there's any, is anybody new today? Victor, hi. And Deva and Darlene.
Anyway, well, so this time is for questions or sharings, and it's informal, but I mean, we have to take turns. So if you do want to speak, just either unmute yourselves or you can wave. I want to make you bigger because you're all very small today. I don't know why. Okay, that's better. Well, we've got one cat. Any other creatures? Oh, another cat. Wow, look at him. He's gorgeous. Oh, he's so, wait, one more. Oh, he's really lovely. Oh, hello.
It's nice that we can be in silence like this, even though we're not together. That's quite amazing.
Ellen?
Yes?
I do really appreciate the silence. And that is beautiful. And I know I'm new as well. But I guess I'd really also like to be able to make contact.
Of course.
So I've been experiencing some very low mood states. And I guess my question is, because it shifts a lot, because they shift, and it's, I don't think it's, and it feels physiological. So there doesn't seem to be like a mental reason for dramatic states in mood. So what I've been doing is I've been studying people talking about dark night of the soul and different things like that. But my question is, if it's physiological, like it could be menopause or, well, I don't know, but my question is, if it's a physiological thing, is it possible then still to be liberated from it? To be able to understand it as...
So Kate, I noticed, do you guys have an echo? I have a bad echo. Okay, now it's better. You did say I'm experiencing low moods, and then you're now saying it's physiological, but I think that you're actually saying it's not just physiological, it's also emotional. Am I right? Except you're saying maybe that there isn't anything specific to attach to that feeling of a low sort of energy, physical, low feeling, but no.
Oh yeah, it's emotional. It's very emotional. Yeah. But my sense is that it has a physiological root, that it's caused from physiologically.
Yeah. It could be hormones, or it could be, I understand what you're saying. And then your question is, if it's physiological, if it's rooted in the body, is there any chance of ever being free of it?
Well, not ever, but at the moment, say, I mean, yeah, because...
The thing is, you see, my dear, is that you already are free of it. This is the spiritual answer, right? You are already, but you are.
Sure.
We know that in theory that we are free of suffering. But so in this approach, you know, we don't want to just stick with the theory. We want to sort of explore that understanding. And so with feelings like that, we, first of all, I would invite you not, at least here, or when you're exploring like we do here, don't generalize. It's fresh in the moment. Don't make a big generalization about I experience these moods, and because then you already have this huge thing that is rooted in the past. I've been having this thing, and so it's now, it's just now in the now, and then there's this sensation or feeling, and it's not fun and it's difficult, and that's it. You just be with it. And this is here in this context, because I think there are many ways to approach these kinds of things, but in this context here, as you saw today, we just are listening to the body, and we are exercising or sort of renewing our capacity to just be with what is, really to be with what is, to be the that in which what is arises, not to have an agenda, and not to want things to be different. So of course, we do want things to be different. You would like this thing to get, yes. So in this approach, we just humbly do our best to watch the agendas we have with the body, with our feelings, with our personhood. We want things to be different. You, Kate, want this thing. First of all, you'd like to know what it is, and you'd like to know if you're ever gonna, you know, be free of it.
Well, I'm remembering now more about what I wanted to say. What I've been thinking, what I've been looking at,
yes,
which is that in reading and studying and going to different teachers, etc., what's coming to me is that it could be a delusion, that I might be in delusion. And that if I can step, if I'm in my awareness, in awareness, in presence, and not in the emotional content or the physiological, the waves and the whatever, the drama, for want of a better word, then can I see through what I'm experiencing as delusion? If I can,
well, is there a way? Do you mean illusion? Because in the spiritual jargon, we often say that you know, that experience, the world is an illusion. Because delusion feels a bit strong. I mean, you are saying something to us that it doesn't sound like a delusion. You're just describing a state of the body that's low. That doesn't sound like a delusion. That sounds like a genuine experience. And I think you're contorting yourself with your mind many, many ways to try and get this thing to stop. You can't, because it's unbearable. So now the mind has come up with this other scenario, which is that you are in delusion and that actually you've created this thing and you could just step out of it.
Yes.
But that's just another strategy of your mind, Kate. It's just another way you're trying to convince yourself that you could actually step out of this. The only way, really, no matter what the situation is, we can never step out of a situation, but we can explore it. We can explore our resistance to it. We can explore it, the beliefs we have that are associated with this particular situation. We can explore the resistance at the level of the body. And what by explore, I mean really witness and feel. And we can also ask ourselves questions that are helpful, you know, like, is this situation limiting me really? Or is my happiness dependent on this situation changing? And then really honestly ask yourself that question. If the answer is yes, then you need, you know, obviously there's not enough space between you and this situation. You and this situation have become very, very connected. In other words, Kate and this low mood chronic thing is glued. You are glued to it. You are it. You've identified with it, right? So it has to be an exploration, Kate, not a sort of get me out of this thing, I hate it. No. I know.
I understand. That's what I'm saying. If I'm the witness, infinite space, whatever, you know, the Godhead or whatever.
Yeah, but when you say that, that's just an idea. You have to go to your experience and see what happens. For example, now what's happened, you can't say, if I'm the witness, then will this go away? If I promise to be the witness, then can this go away, please?
See, what's been happening is that at times I feel, you know, awake, clear, alive, peaceful.
Yeah.
And
and at other times you don't.
And then I seem to get flung back into this thing, space, and I don't.
So I'm going to make another suggestion to you, Kate, because who you are deeply, awareness, the ocean,
yeah,
is present and untouched in both scenarios. Mm-hmm. In other words, your deepest identity is who you are when Kate, the body mind, the wave called Kate, feels well and clear. And when she feels not well and not clear, it has nothing to do with your deep nature. Your deep nature is there witnessing both scenarios and everything in between. But I think maybe you need to explore this not really spiritually, but psychologically. I think there's something here that is wanting some attention and doesn't want to be gotten rid of. It wants to be explored. It wants to be. And we can't do this here together. We don't have time, but and it's not the place. But I suspect it's it might be also valid avenue for you. You're trying to spiritualize something away, and I don't know enough, and we don't have enough time, but so maybe you come back and we talk again and we see. But all I can say now is calm down, in the sense, it's not that you're agitated, but calm down that part of you that really wants to get to the bottom of this and wants this. Like, it's okay. There's nothing dangerous. We all of us have a version of this. Be curious. More than anything, be interested in the strategies and desires you have for things to be different. That's more interesting in a way. And then in terms of the spiritual exploration, be interested in that one who wants things to be different. You know, what is she made of? Who is she? Is she really, to be trusted? And then maybe at another moment, I maybe try to connect with the feelings, the emotions, the frustration. There might be some deeper feelings under there. I don't know. We don't have time, I'm afraid. I mean, I wish we did.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
And I feel like my answer is a bit jumbly and confusing, which may leave you a bit confused, but maybe listen to it again in the recording and...
Okay, thanks.
Go gently and slowly, and don't have too many ideas about what things, the direction that things need to take. You don't know what direction things need to take, but you can explore what's here. And it's not a delusion.
Okay.
Okay, Kate.
Thank you.
Take care. I'm just continuing with you, Kate, because it's so clear that there's a preference between the state of the body mind where you're clear and present and feeling well, and then this state, which, and I mean, it's very human. We all prefer feeling well and clear, but from the point of view of awareness, in terms of our deepest nature, it really, really has nothing to do with it. It's sometimes the weather is fine and the sun is shining, and sometimes it's cloudy and rainy, and that's what your body mind sometimes is like, that cloudy, rainy weather, and it needs to be allowed. It's a weather pattern. It's here. So the first step for you would be to really relax. It's not dangerous. It's not. It's everything keeps changing. The sunshine will come back. We it's our nature as body minds to change and flow, and things happen, and the body ages, and hormones and circumstances and illness and death. So there is nothing that is going to be a stable state of the body mind. It just doesn't exist. I mean, we have periods, and then we're like, oh, I love this state. I want it to be forever. And then boom. You know, the horoscope is like, no, Saturn return, whatever. So I think really remember that. And then give yourself permission to explore. Explore, you know, I don't know. And I'm repeating myself. I'm going around again, because I think I'm not happy with leaving you in your... But so be it. Take care.
It's mysterious, this life, you know, and suffering. And sometimes a non-dual teaching can be a bit misleading because it sends the message, you know, once you got this, boom, peace, love, happiness, ever, forever after. And then, but then it doesn't really pan out that way for most of us. We still feel sometimes, and then we think we're not doing it right. We what am I not getting? Or and no, it's just it's like, yes. Are you just saying that's me, or are you wanting to say something?
No, I wanted to say something. Well, the truth is, it was another teacher, and I was listening to all the different teachers talking about depression, whatever I could find. And then this particular talk, just small, short talk, said that the depression cannot stand. If you can turn and face it and you can see it for what it is, and your aware presence, and the depression, the word used was shining, that your consciousness was always shining, and that there was this shining nature even on the surface of the depression, and that if you could turn and face it and sort of see through it and stand back from it, it would collapse.
And how helpful was that to you?
Well, it gave me hope.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I thought, this is helpful. It means if I can do this thing, if I can do it, then if I understand how to do it, then the depression will collapse. And then hurrah.
I get it. And I think, so two things. One is, now I understand why you're sort of thinking, well, I can do this. You know, there's a pathway to do this.
Yes, and because that's
that teacher was in theory right. I mean, it's true. What was being said is true, that the separate, because depression is an expression of fear or sadness, or it's an expression of the so-called separate self, right? It's the little wave in the ocean that believes she's a separate wave, that she does not belong to the ocean, and she's not, and then something happens and that little wave is really depressed and she's forgotten. So the analogy is that once that little wave remembers her true nature, which is the water, the ocean, immediately she relaxes. So in principle, it's not in principle, this is true. However, sometimes the way these teachings are delivered, it makes it seem like ever so simple, like, you know, in one little gesture, boom, it will take care of all of my depression, my whole, but it doesn't work that way. And I can only say that from my experience, and from, it works like that way and it doesn't work that way. Let's put it that way. It works that way in the now. We can see that in meditation, we sometimes in glimpses, everything falls back into the arms of awareness. Everything is well, everything is peaceful. So yes, in that sense, it's not that it works is a horrible way to say it, but it's true. But the pain body, as Eckhart Tolle calls it, or the wave that you are, Kate, and that we each are, we have, something is being lived out, which I don't actually understand it myself. I read psychology. I love Jung. There are all sorts of things that interest me, because I don't think that a human life is meant not to experience this suffering and this obscurity and this shadow. It's part of life, and we have to explore it. We talk to our friends, to our family, we go see a therapist. We there's a lot to explore that is dark, that is hidden, that we don't understand. And that too is part of the journey. So anyway, I'm getting a bit passionate, but
So maybe those very deep truths that other teachers say, they're true, but they can be misleading if they're sort of taken as recipes, like all you need to do is stand as whatever, you know, and then the separate self can't survive in the light of awareness. Well, there's truth there, but it's a truth that needs to be truly explored, and there's also a truth about suffering, that it's not meaningless, and there's something there to be explored on its own value. At least that's my view. I don't claim to know the truth, Kate. Anyway, go ahead, and then we probably...
Well, I'm so sorry to have taken up all the time, but
no,
it's just that I've done a huge amount of study, reading about spiritual bypassing. I've been determined for years and years not to bypass anything. I've had therapy. I've had Freudian psychoanalytic therapy. I had 2 years of very intense Jungian therapy. And, you know, I don't think... I've had cognitive, you know, lots of different modalities. But... Yeah.
But I think, you see, it's not about the modalities.
I have explored a lot.
Okay. Well, then. You know,
but so now what I'm coming to is this thought. Can I? Is it something I'm meant to see through, that I'm meant to say goodbye to, that I'm meant to release, a pattern that I'm meant to give back to God, or, you know.
Maybe. Not a bad thought.
Maybe like you're ancestral.
Maybe you're, you know, I remember Francis, my teacher, used to sometimes say, you know, you have your dirty socks that stink, but you're so used to them that your socks, they stink. And you just have them because, you know, they're familiar stink. And actually, maybe this is an old thing that, you know, you're not good. You've juiced it already. You've explored it. You know enough about your childhood and your parents and this and your that. And that's enough already. So every time it comes up, don't even do the spiritual non-dual thing. Just ditch those dirty socks, poof, and ignore it. Ignore it. That's, you know, we all have to find our ways. There's the thing that I would tell you, Kate, is take responsibility. Trust your own instinct in these matters, because you mentioned the non-dual teachers and then these modalities, and I think what you just said sort of came more spontaneously from your own instinct. Maybe I should just release it. Well, give it a go.
No, that was another spiritual teacher,
Well, maybe become your own spiritual, like sit in a chair in your home, like, and pretend they're like people listening to you, and pretend there's a Kate in the group asking you exactly what you ask, and then see what comes out of you. See what you tell them. No, seriously.
No, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Give it a go and report back to us.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, good luck, Kate.
Thank you.
Sorry, I need to say one more. It's interesting, this conversation, to me. And I think, you know, when we're listening to lots of teachers and we do this, we really have to let our intuition listen, not just up here, the part of us that wants to get rid of the thing and change a thing. That part of us is going to go, let's try this, let's try that. More. But there's a deeper intuition that sometimes will hear something and yes, you know, that my soul, so to speak, says yes, and I'm going to explore that because I know that feels right. So if you listen to teach, you know, don't trust this yes, trust the yes that comes from, don't know where it comes from, but, you know, the yes that comes from your soul. I like that word because it's a sort of nice word. Okay, I'll shut up. And you'll shut up too, Kate. and Corinne's going to read us a poem. Yay. Thank you so much, Kate, for this conversation.
Hello.
Hi.
quickly, I'm so grateful this poem came today. It's the perfect one. And, you know, it seems this whole, your whole meditation was comprised of openness, you know, references to openness and discovery. And that's exactly, you know, I feel that that's exactly what it is. And, you know, we receive and we give it right back. We're just, it's this constant thing. And reciprocity of being, really.
That's nice.
This poem is called Poetics, and it's from A.R. Ammons. I look for the way things will turn out, spiraling from a center. The shape things will take to come forth in, no, Poetics. I look for the way things will turn out, spiraling from a center. The shape things will take to come forth in, so that the birch tree, white touched black at branches, will stand out, wind glittering, totally its apparent self. I look for the forms things want to come as, from what black wells of possibility, how a thing will unfold. Not the shape on paper, though that too, but the uninterfering means on paper. Not so much looking for the shape as being available to any shape that may be summoning itself through me, from the self not mine, but ours.
Ooh, I love that last line. Ooh, yes, yes, yes. That's gorgeous. How do you find those poems, Coco?
One never knows, but, you know, I didn't know that.
Just like that.
The right poem.
Just like he says, right?
From yes. And just like exactly what your meditation was about today, you know, just, I know you probably don't remember because it just came through you. You don't.
I just channeled it. I don't remember.
Really? That's how it is. And
I know.
Perfect. So thank you.
Thank you, Coco. And thank you, every one of you, for coming and listening to yourselves, listening to me and Kate, listening to Coco. Thank you. Feel free to unmute yourself. There isn't a meeting next Tuesday, but in 2 weeks. And there's a 3-day retreat in Devon for people who are on this side of the pond, if you're interested. It's on the website in March. And lots of love to everyone. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, Ellen.
Bye.
Thank you, Ellen.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody here.
Bye. Ciao, Ika.
Hi, ciao, Maria. Ciao, Mati. Marcus, Kate.
Marcus, yeah.
Eugene.
Ciao.